Dear faithful, we observe today the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. At the summon of her heavenly Father, when the years of Mary's time on earth were completed, she was immediately taken body and soul to heaven. And this is recorded in the book of the Apocalypse, which we read in the intro. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. In the Gospel today, we hear Our Lady singing the Magnificat. This canticle of praise is always sung at Vespers, and we should join Mary with devotion and joy in thanksgiving to God for the gift of his Son and for all the great graces of redemption, primarily, of course, being that we can one day join to Mary with in heaven. The Magnificat was also a hymn of thanksgiving and also serves as a call to home into heaven, which we should every evening renew to remember we belong to God and not to this earth. In the old days in France, in the coastal areas, which were noted for their fishing industry, it was a very dangerous occupation to make your living as a fisherman. In France, fogs arise very quickly offshore, and in this way, the fishermen, just like any people on earth in their trades, sometimes had to take great risks, many times at the expense of their lives. They were fishing out in their small boats, which was very dangerous. But whenever one of these fogs arose, the women who had remained at home, they immediately went down to the shore. And there together at the shore, the women rose their voices in a hymn to Our Lady. The fishermen in this way were guided back to safety, to home, by the voices of their loved ones who were waiting and welcoming them back home. And Our Lady, who has been assumed to heaven, is even now calling us not to forget our true home, true end, and true goal, which is the place among God's saints. God truly wanted to bestow this great favor of Assumption on Mary. From all eternity, Mary had been chosen for the most exalted office that could be conferred on a mere creature, namely the office of Mother of the Redeemer of the world. Mary truly did play an important part in the work of man's redemption, for she freely consented to be the mother of the Redeemer, and she joined her sufferings and her good works to those of her divine Son for our salvation. And because of this, God granted a privilege like to that bestowed on Jesus, namely the privilege of a bodily glorification when her years on earth were at end. It would not have been fitting if Mary's chaste body, which had sheltered the Son of God, had been left to the corruption of the grave, which is the faith of us ordinary mortals. No, Our Lady was assumed into heaven, body and soul, and that will be eventually part of everyone of the saints of God. That great glory is not reserved, though, to every single man, but only to those who carry out their own role as a follower of Christ. As Christians, we must know our responsibility, and even though we cannot, because of the original sin, carry out our role as well as Our Lady did, we can, through her intercession, do our duty and be numbered among the saints of God. Think of it, every man receives enough grace to save his soul, but not everyone is willing to follow Mary's call to heaven all the way and do his duty. You can think of our Savior choosing 12 apostles to be his companions. Our Lord intended that they should teach and preach the gospel after his ascension into heaven and teach men the steps and roads which lead to heaven, to their true home, just like he, Jesus, had done while still here on earth. And 11 of them, that is the apostles, they remained true to the call. But one, namely Judas Iscariot, he failed. All the apostles heard our Savior preach. They all saw him perform amazing miracles. They all listened to his warnings against vice and his insistence upon the practice of virtue. They were all present at the Last Supper and heard him say that one of them will betray him. And they were all conscious of the fact that any one of them might be the traitor, for they all began to ask, "Is it I, O Lord?" In spite of all this, it was only one of them which failed, namely Judas. It wasn't that life was particularly unfair or unkind to Judas. It was that he failed to acknowledge that he had to shoulder personal responsibility of living it, not the way he desired, but the way Christ wanted. Judas refused to make use of the things which would have made him as successful as an apostle as the others were. Having exactly the same opportunities as his fellow apostles, living in the same conditions and affected by the same set of circumstances, life was for him what it was for them. But the names of the rest of the apostles are inscribed on the roll of honor of God's saints, together with Mary. But on his, namely Judas's, on the roll of the infamous. All because he failed to shoulder his personal responsibility, not just hearing, but also living as a follower of Christ. Dear faithful, today in a spirit of an ardent Catholic faith, rekindle your devotion to Mary, who is now gloriously reigning in heaven and from there calling us to home. Ask her to help you to merit the eternal life. Recite her rosary every day, not just from the sense of duty, but out of spirit of devotion to your mother calling you back home. It is your own choice if you want to be a good Catholic or just a lukewarm, average follower of Christ. And difference between a good Catholic and a lukewarm Catholic is not only in the length of the time in purgatory. It might even be a difference between an apostle and a traitor, namely heaven and hell. If you sacrifice your whole life and your whole will to God, as Our Lady did, you will also receive the reward of Our Lady in heaven instead of the eternal punishment of Judas. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.